wrong page. Hello, everybody. I am Mayor Watt. That is ohmtown.com. I stream here on Twitch. Let me turn down my music. You probably couldn't hear it, but I can definitely hear it because, well, I couldn't hear myself think here for a second. Okay. So again, I am Mayor Watt. This is ohmtown Daily News Show for June 15th, 2022. It's episode 166. I might have messed up my numbering when I did my last announcement, but it doesn't really matter because the podcast keeps track of it, and mostly people on YouTube aren't even watching it. So I'm really selling this, aren't I? Okay. Anyway, I do this because I try and get some news out to people who might want to have a vehicle within which to talk, kind of like Cars with Coffee or driving comedians in cars getting coffee. Anyway, so I do this here on Twitch, and I hope that you will be motivated to come and hang out with me. But my time frame for this has only been an hour, and I'd like to expand it. I was going to do another show today for afterwards, after this hour, for the continuity report, but I got kind of waylaid by some inconvenient timing for something. Had to address it, and because I'm the mayor of ohmtown, if somebody needs my assistance, then I sometimes have to triage that and go and solve the problem. So that's why I'm late. I really late. Like it's too bad, but here I am, and I'm happy to answer questions and talk shop about all kinds of things. Pretty much anything, I'm willing to offer up my advice. And until it comes to a certain point, which I will be, I won't give legal advice. I'm not an attorney. And even if I was your attorney, or not, even if I was an attorney, I wouldn't be your attorney. I would just tell you to go talk to an attorney. I might give my opinion on something, but don't take it as advice. At least not legal advice. For instance, you know, this whole Johnny Depp, Amber Heard thing, you know, she's running around saying she's sticking to her testimony and that this and that and the other, and all of it is true and whatnot. And she's looking to end up in court again because you can't keep on saying the same things. If you were taken to court and the jury said that you committed defamation, and you go out and you keep on reiterating your statements that you made in an article, you're ending up, you know, it's defamation again. And it's not like you, there's no double jeopardy for defamation. If you commit it again and then you commit it again, you can be taken to court again and again. Come on. Just, yeah, I don't know. It's hard for somebody, I suppose, to move on from what they have taught themselves to be as abuse, even though they say that they're not a victim. They keep on throwing out that they are a victim of this. So, I don't know. It's complex. Happy to talk about that kind of stuff with other people. And I throw my little two bits out there. If you are interested in having a conversation beyond, based on the complexity of an issue and not just a particular staticky point, you know, just that one little pinned down issue. Because everything is connected, and it's not as simple as black and white. It is a complex series, a spectrum, a continuum, or what I even have been coining as a contextuum. And somewhere in there is the truth. And it, depending on where you are in there, it's a level of acceptance. I think that we need to have more conversation and really suss out the facts of it. I'll get to why I'm talking about this as we go through the news. But let's get into today's news. The very first article is in the Warcrafters channel, and it's Rest in Peace, Internet Explorer. Here are 10 things as old as the expired browser. So Explorer, Windows Internet Explorer has kind of met its end of life. Not kind of. We're just going to go over to the article because this has been known for a while that Internet Explorer is going to die. And it says, in 1995, we said hello to Windows 95, JavaScript, and USB. This is an article by George Jimenez, and it says, once the most popular browser in the world, Internet Explorer has seen its last sunrise. As of today, if you try to open Internet Explorer, you'll be directed to download Edge, Microsoft's fresh new browser, which we recently heard is getting improved Xbox cloud gaming support. It's the end of an era. So, way back in the day, when I was doing my MBA, I did an analysis of Apple, and I paralleled Apple with Microsoft, and I've predicted right down to the app price for the Microsoft side as well as the Apple side. What I said was that Microsoft will slowly migrate itself to being a vertical, more and more exclusive of anybody else. It will prevent anybody else from getting into the main core of the operating system. And by that, I mean, it will do what Apple is doing and has been doing, and has only once, way back 30 plus years ago, maybe a little bit longer, Apple has never let anybody else develop its product. And it would go so far as to offer more product. So for instance, instead of having some other word processor on your Apple device, it has its own word processor. It has its own slide deck, like PowerPoint, right? So it all has its own, and it is a vertical. Dunk. It controls everything on the operating system. If you are content with its offerings, you need nothing else, right? It's a one-stop shop for its product, which is a lot of the problem that I have with antitrust and other issues in the EU leaning into that antitrust audit. But Microsoft has always been very open in terms of people being able to latch on to its infrastructure, right? So back in the day, again, you could launch a product that integrates Internet Explorer. It excised everybody else from that platform. You couldn't do anything with Microsoft's Internet Explorer. If you were going to use any other browser, you couldn't use any other browser. So it was, if you wanted to be a developer for Microsoft and put something on the desktop, it had to be something that utilized Internet Explorer. I know this because this will probably open up a little can of worms, I suppose. But I was the first to launch a free internet service. I launched it from a 2-bedroom apartment and provided ad-driven free internet access. And I subsequently worked with another company to partner up with other companies and launch it nationwide. And the experience there kind of taught me that if you were going to do anything with Microsoft, you had to play by all of their rules. And one of those rules was you had to use their Internet Explorer deployment kit. And this is the same thing. It's going vertical. And so the more that Microsoft heads down this path, the more vertical it's going to get. And it's going to be more difficult. You'll have to basically start developing apps, which are separate entities from the core operating system. So everything in the operating system will start looking a lot more like basically Mac OS. And it will, and its app store on Microsoft side will look more like Apple. And the tiling system aside, which drives me nuts, is going away, I'm sure. And over time, it's going to continue to go away. But it's going to end up looking a lot like the Apple App Store. And in reality, we have three types of operating systems. We either have Apple and its ecosystem. We have Microsoft and its ecosystem. And those two walled gardens exist. We have a duopoly of operating systems, but there is a third one, which is a whole host of distributions of Linux, various forms of Linux or Unix, all pretty much the same. They have different functions and forms and looks and so on, but really all Linux is Unix, all Unix is Linux. Might as well just accept that. But nobody really uses it. It's not a big dominant player. It used to be even more so on the enterprise side, but even that's waning and people are using pretty much distributed systems. I mean, it's getting pretty wild out there that when you load up a website of any type, it's actually reaching out into, you know, 30 different solutions. Why am I saying all of this? Because Internet Explorer going away and everything moving over to Edge, the foundation for Edge, the foundation for Safari, the foundation for Chrome and Firefox and everything all have to work together, except that Edge has proprietary stuff. Sometimes when you try to log into a website, you are required to use Internet Explorer because it uses non-standardized content. And Edge is going to be no different. Why? Because it's a Microsoft product. And if they can dominate the market with a new tool and they can kind of align their product with some other niche, high demand sector, then it'll drive adoption of Edge. And so there are certain websites where you have to use Edge. What they are, it's myriad. Sometimes it's a learning environment and you have to use Edge, or at the time Internet Explorer, and I haven't gone back to that environment to see if you have to use Edge now. Some government sites you have to use an accepted browser because it is compatible with the configuration of the server and the scripting that is pushed by the server. But Microsoft will continue to silo. It will be a vertical and it will allow people to subscribe to one service and get access to everything at varying levels. Why do I say that? Because we'll have more news about this as time goes on. So hardware and software, it says Windows 95. They're talking about the historical aspects of this. So Windows 95. USB, JavaScript, Palm Pilot, iOmega, zip drives, which I loved at the time, but they were physical drives, and SSDs will eventually taken over everything. And the benefit of no moving parts, no magnetic tape, no nothing like magnetic tape means greater reliability. And these things could fail simply because the atmospheric conditions in an office were out of alignment with the integrity of the drive over time. I mean, it was wild where one day it would work and the next day it wasn't you weren't going to recover anything from it. They talk about games, Star Wars. This is all stuff that's as old as Internet Explorer. MechWarrior 2, 31st Century Combat, XCOM. This is all coming back right now. Command & Conquer. There are some games in Game Fest that actually match Command & Conquer. Full Throttle, I think, is being remade. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not one to look back at history other than the great lessons of history. You know, you just don't repeat these horrible events of history. But looking back at old stuff, if you've lived through it, You know, it's good for what it is, which is basically you learn it, you move on, you don't repeat it. And if you are going to repeat it, it had better be the basic premise of it, and you reinvent it in the modern age with modern everything associated with it, from the tech to the societal impacts of whatever it is that you're doing. Let's continue on. The next article is 70. So the Fed is raising the basis points. So hold on a second. Let me fix this. Did I put that in there? Yeah. Okay. So let's do this. Dunk, ba-dunk, ba-dunk. So Fed 75 basis point rate hike means millions more home buyers will be priced out of the housing market. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Expect the 30-year mortgage rate to get even more expensive. Yes. A year ago, you could have gotten it at 2.5%, 2.75% here in the States. Now, good luck if you're going to get 6 for a 30-year mortgage. So on Wednesday, the U.S. Federal Reserve raised the benchmark rate by 75 basis points to 1.5% to 1.75% range, the biggest increase since 1994 as it tries to tame inflation, which reached a 40-year high, actually more than 41-year high. Eric Finnegan, a director at John Burns Real Estate Consulting, wrote on Twitter that mortgage rates rising from 3% at the start of this year to 6% effectively rules out 18 million households from qualifying for a $400,000 mortgage, and on a $400,000 loan, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at a 3% rate would cost homebuyers approximately $1,700 a month, excluding taxes and other fees. That equates to $607,000 with $207,000 in total interest, which a lot of people will like gasp and be shocked at. But a lot of people don't ever pay off their entire mortgage. They go from equity to equity, and their equity takes a hit of, depending on how the deals go down. They take a hit in that equity every time they sell their house. I don't know how to, real estate, basically has set minimums and you have to pay it. You can try and sell it on your own for sale by owner, but there's a lot of headache involved in that. So the old maxims, desperate times call for desperate measures, appears to have come into play with the latest REIT move, said Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, said in a response to the Fed's 75 basis point hike. Yeah, this is not going to end well for those who are trying to buy a home but can't because the interest rate has gone up. Here's the big deal. Because of that downward pressure on buying a home, which really, it doesn't make any sense that interest rates are going up because the risk doesn't change except for this rate increasing impacts the margin that the loan companies are going to have to either push on to the customer or they take less home. Right. The companies that provide these loans either take home less money or they push that rate change out to the public. And therein lies the rub, because if you have multiple stakeholders and everybody is demanding their slice of the pie, then you're going to have to either push it out to the consumer or take home less money. And so this is pricing out people who won't be able to qualify for a mortgage because the rate has increased and providers of mortgages don't want to take that hit. Well, because of that, 18 million more people will have to get a, they're going to have to start renting a condo or a house or an apartment or whatever. They're going to have to rent. And that lease now ties them into paying X amount, or they're homeless. You know, now is the time to start building tiny homes again. That market kind of fell off, and now it really should be coming back. And to lower the cost of a house, we need 3D printing to go full steam ahead in the housing market. But there's a lot of money that has a vested interest in keeping things status quo. It says with May demand 17% below expectations, we don't have enough work for our agents and support staff, says Redfin CEO Glenn Kelman in a blog post on Tuesday, in which they asked 8% of the company's staff to leave. Well, you got to be more efficient. Okay, so I'm going to continue on with the next article. This is in the Warcrafters channel. The best mini ITX PC case for 2022. Again, this is a compilation of news from a very broad gamut of articles, and in six different categories, and then there are channels, 50 channels. So create, news, education, entertainment, social, and technology are the six categories that I talk about in each episode. Some of it might not be addressed, but most of those six are always addressed. So this article is about the mini ITX PC case. So if you're looking to build a new machine, let's click this link. It takes us over to PC Gamer, and the article is by Dave James. I'm not sure. Did I say who the last article was by? Let me scroll up and make sure that I do. Oh, okay. That last article was over the one about the Fed's biggest rate hike since 1994 means millions more home buyers may be priced out of the housing market, was written by Quentin Fottrell over at marketwatch.com. But the one that I'm about to talk about, the best mini ITX PC case in 2022, is by Dave James. It says, go compact and cute with the best mini ITX PC cases. I love mini PC cases. I have towers and super towers and server, you know, I have such a broad swath of devices that are attached. It's kind of disconcerting. But I don't really care about their looks because they're hidden away. They're either in a data closet somewhere or under a table. And I just need functional boxes that allow for water cooling and always water cooled. I wish that I could just dunk the case in something that's easily easy to cool all of the electronics, and I don't ever have to worry about it. And if I take it all apart, then it's easy to deal with. But no such luck. At any rate, these mini ITX cases, they give kind of a review of each of these mini ITX cases over at PCGamer.com. The NZXT H1V2, they've given it a 5-star. Reasons to buy, great to build onto or into. Extra cooling, routed cabling is a blessing. Pretty much cables are a very big impactor on the airflow. Each one of those cables that cuts through the air allows for debris, dust that you wouldn't see if you're looking inside the computer. You wouldn't see it initially, but over time it builds up. And each one of the dust particles allows for another dust particle to glom onto it. And so you should clean out with canned air periodically, or a blower from a vacuum or something like that, if you can. So let's see. Their number two is the Height Revolt 3, which is just shy of 5 stars. That's the NZXT. That says NZXT too. So wait, what is... So this is a mini ITX, but it says Height Revolt 3. hold on a second. Let me see something here. So that's the NZXT H1V2. And that isn't the same. So what is that? The caption underneath it, it says future. Huh. Okay. Well, let me just continue on. They have an NZXT H210i. That's titled the best budget mini ITX case. And if you're like me, you don't really need a case that's any more special than a box. So I would love to get this kind of thing. As long as I can put a full length card in it, or I can find an NVIDIA or AMD card that is comparable to a 40 series NVIDIA card or better. I know that there are some better cards from AMD coming down now, so let's see what happens. But I would need liquid cooling. I'm looking at liquid cooling M.2s as well. There's a lot that needs to be cooled inside a smaller case because it basically doesn't have enough airflow to keep everything cool. Liquid cooling does a splendid job of keeping things cool, but when you start getting more and more and more stuff that needs to be cooled, it basically becomes one giant heatsink. There's Fantex Evolve Shift XT. That basically just looks like a storage area network. There's a Corsair Crystal 280X RGB. Of course, you have to have RGB. I don't, but when I talk to people about this kind of stuff and I walk them through buying a PC, it's kind of funny because some people really could care less. Most people could care less about LEDs, but the fanatics really like LEDs. I could care less either way. If you want them, get them. Even memory and stuff like that. I don't even look inside my case. My cases are, like I said earlier, they're either in a closet somewhere or under my desk, and I never even see them until I need to swap something out. I try something. I don't know. Anyway, if you want to know more about it, they've got more cases, the Mini ITX PC case in 2022. Go over to PCGamer.com, check it out. The next article is in The Word in Tech, and this is Ford is telling its dealers to stop selling the Mustang Mach-E because of safety concerns. The malfunction involves a potential overheating of the vehicle's battery high-voltage contactors, which can lead to the vehicle failing to start or losing power while in motion. It's the latest hiccup to affect Ford's rollout of its mass-market electric vehicle that has helped propel the automaker to second place in EV sales behind Tesla. I, for one, don't really care for the Mach-E. Pardon me. I just got pinged for comment. Not about this, for something else offline. Anyway, the affected vehicles include model year 2021 and 2022. The vehicles built between May 27th, 2020 until current. So let's go over to The Verge. It says the EV could fail to start or become immobile while in motion due to a battery malfunction. This article is by Andrew J. Hawkins. And really, I don't like the look of the Mach-E. Which is why I don't have it in the running for my next car. I will just try and sell you on the idea of looking up the Canoo. C-A-N-O-O, Canoo. Anyway, Ford issued a recall of over 48,000 Mustang Mach-E electric crossovers over concerns that a safety defect might render the vehicle immobile. And I am just going to send you over to the article, go through Ohmtown, and it'll lead you right to that article. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. And this is one of the things that I was talking about. The new PlayStation Plus is Sony's answer to Xbox Game Pass. Here's a breakdown of the tiered plans and what games are included with each. I'm just going to click the link and it'll take you over to businessinsider.com, an article by Kevin Webb. I won't go through every single thing. Again, I encourage you to go over there, but Microsoft is doing a vertical. So everything that you do in Microsoft's ecosystem stays in Microsoft's ecosystem, right? Unless a game or a product or a service or whatever is within Microsoft, you won't have access to it. And others do the same thing. Don't get me wrong, but Microsoft is trying to tie more and more into its ecosystem, just like Apple does, just like Sony tries to. But Apple's actually getting kind of handed its hat again and again in the EU. But everybody is doing it. I'm not saying it's right. I think I actually hate the idea of siloing. I want to be able to purchase something at, on Steam, and I have access to it wherever because I'm purchasing the product. But if you buy something on one store, you don't get access to it on another store, even though it's the same damn product. And that kind of just drives me nuts. I want to be able to, like I said, I want to purchase music. Let's say I purchase it on Apple. I should be able to listen to it from any other service. Because I've purchased the music. And funny enough, I've purchased only a perpetual license to listen to the music. I haven't actually purchased the physical copy of that product. If I burn too many copies of it onto a CD, or I try and convert it into an MP3, I'm actually in trouble. I don't have the right to do exactly what I just said. Well, this is PlayStation Plus is a subscription service that gives gamers access to online play and other benefits, but only within the PlayStation Plus ecosystem. They launched the new tier PlayStation Plus plans June 13th, Essential, Extra, and Premium. And the Extra and Premium include hundreds of games and the option to stream on console or PC. So kind of like NVIDIA. Although you have to purchase the game to use on NVIDIA, their streaming platform. For more than a decade, Sony's PlayStation Plus subscription service has provided PlayStation console owners with essential online services like multiplayer, cloud save storage, and free downloadable games. Ugh. Yeah, it's frustrating that to be multiplayer, you have to go through an online service instead of it being integrated into the game, and there are servers that run the game. And when you pay for the game, you pay for this license to use a gateway type of system to connect people. It's not, the company hasn't invested in that back end. You have to pay for it, which... You know, I'd rather be able to communicate with other people and have a small group of 10 people all playing the game together and not have to subscribe to a service just to get that. I think that it's just a money grab. The PlayStation Plus plan is now called PlayStation Plus Essential, and it keeps all of the previous features at the same $10 a month price. To get access to the new catalog of games, subscribers will have to pay more to upgrade to Extra or Premium. And really, you can just go over and read the rest of this. The extra thing that you get with the PlayStation Plus Extra is PS5 and PS4 game library of 400 titles. And then for the Plus Premium, you also get PS2, PS3, PlayStation Original, PSP, game library of an additional 340 games, and streaming on PC and PlayStation consoles. And that's what you get. Then there's more. They talk about it over at Business Insider. You can go and check it out on your own. Follow the link. Follow this link. Oh my goodness. I am falling behind. Ink. There you go. Okay, so the next article is in the Stock Marketeers channel. It's in a section called The Margin. That's over on the site that I aggregate it from. Apple scores MLS streaming rights for a reported $250 million a year. That's Major League Soccer. For the next 10 years, beginning in 2023, the Apple TV app will stream every live Major League Soccer match for 10 years. This article is by Weston Blasey, or Blasey, I'm not quite sure of the name. But Apple TV Plus will start streaming in 2023 for 10 more years, all of the live Major League Soccer games. If you want to know more, follow the link. The next article is over in The Word in Tech. Alternative facts. Yeah, you can imagine that I'm going to jump on a soapbox for this. There are no things such as alternative facts. There are only facts. Alternative facts are cons and journalists can help quash them, new paper argues. Journalists need not cover both sides of an argument when one side is advancing what experts widely regard as a con. Illinois Institute of Technology John N. May Calamos Endowed Chair in Philosophy J.D. Trout argues in his latest publication. So I'm going to click the link and it'll take us over to fizz.org. And Mike and I, this is a quote, Mike and I wanted to write an article that addressed a lot of challenges that reporters had in reported news. Trout says, reporters would say, without evidence, they would never say, this is an audacious lie, or science doesn't support this, so we're not going to support it by repeating false views or giving them a public forum. Con artists are so successful because they exploit people's well-documented overconfidence in order to induce them to argue about whether there is a human-caused climate change, whether creation science is a science, or whether use of tobacco products causes cancer. Trout notes that these are highly technical topics in fields that require PhD-level training in order to make informed judgments and claims. When more than one opinion is shared in the news, or when, quote-unquote, both sides of the story are told, it communicates to the public that there must be doubt or controversy, and this fuels spreading of misinformation. Quote, if you make people feel comfortable, you can make them forget that they don't have the training to know what they are talking about, and they will feel it is harmless to express beliefs they haven't earned. Trout says, quote, but to people who are familiar with the science, they know there isn't any question about settled science. Our solution is distinctly unphilosophical in a way. Our solution is to insist that once you already rely on the best science of the time, you should not engage disputes about it. You either are an expert or you defer to them. Epistemic humility requires it. Well, hate to break it to the authors of this. I'm sure that they will account for it as things go on, but you would be surprised, right? That people just don't care about intellectualism. They don't want thoughtful discussion. They want an emotional knee-jerk reaction as to what something is. And they even discount subject matter experts. I have actually been accused of being overeducated. Not only am I educated, but I'm street smart. So I can kind of, my BS detector is, you know, pretty on point. My problem is that mainstream media does not care about this. What they want is to kind of foment the media train wreck, where the train is crashing into a dumpster fire and the dumpster fire is sitting inside a bus of innocent people, and everything is exploding in slow motion with high-speed cameras, and the whole world gets to see it because they throw in a clickbait title. There has to be hyperbole. Otherwise, nobody really cares. You know, I am talking about the news, and I'm pretty straightforward about it, but nobody wants to sit there and watch, really. Maybe I'm not entertaining enough. I'm talking about the news. I'm talking about some maybe boring stuff, and I'm not really picking a fight. I'm not inciting riot. I'm not raising all kinds of hell or lowering heaven, whatever you want to call it. I'm talking about it in a straightforward manner. Meanwhile, I can turn on a Twitch channel with a gamer, and you know, they chop down a piece of, they chop down a tree and it falls off a cliff and they're screaming bloody murder. Then, oh my God, it's all going to end now. But it's a game and I'm not going to be that outlandish. I just won't. But they're raking in millions of dollars a year. And after 165 episodes, I don't have anybody in my chat. I'm willing to talk, at least. If you're there, please say hello. So it says it's a very straightforward process and takes time and ingenuity to test a vaccine, but at a certain point, it can be concluded that a vaccine is both safe and effective, he says. It is a very damaging thing to allow people to believe that it is legitimate to think otherwise. Now, how do you enforce that is a separate question, but in their paper, they're willing to appeal to norms that reporters would voluntarily adopt, not something that would be imposed on people. We were saying, instead of asserting we're reporting on different sides, why not look at the scientific consensus? And if you disagree with the scientific consensus, we're not really on speaking terms. Media outlets are under no obligation to give voice to the defiantly and proudly uninformed. Exactly. It's called willful ignorance. And there is a large component of people who think that they know better because of their anecdotal interactions that have led them to some modicum of success. But the reality is that that's not how it works. Every once in a while, you're going to get an anomaly. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are streaming right now, but there's only a few that rise to the surface. Why? Because popularity breeds popularity. None of them are necessarily subject matter experts in anything, but the people that are watching believe that they are subject matter experts in something. But it's not really demonstrable other than the fact that they're popular, right? That's kind of how it works. So popularity, influence, it all is part of power, money, connections, etc. And you can be a PhD, but nobody is buying what you're selling. So my point is, this paper, I think, is brilliant in calling out the fact that it's really us that's making alternative facts a reality. When there are no such things as alternative facts, there are just facts. It's on or off. Okay. If it's a fact and it is something that is parallel to the other fact, it's a fact, you know, but you liking blue and me liking green doesn't make those two facts at odds. They are both fact, right? One isn't an alternative fact. Anyway, this is a great paper. I think that you should go and read it. It's over at phys.org. The article is titled Alternative Facts or Cons, and Journalists Can Help Quash Them, New Paper Argues. The article was written by Lindsay Mogan Mogan. I may be pronouncing it entirely wrong. I apologize. Let me know. Illinois Institute of Technology is where they are from. And the article, it's a publication called The Epistemic Virtues of a Closed Mind, Effective Science Reporting in the Golden Age of the Con. And it appears in the Frontiers in Communication, Science, and Environmental Communication. They published the... Trout, who is, I already told you all of it. It's the Illinois Institute of Technology, John N. May Calamos, Endowed Chair in Philosophy, J.D. Trout, argues in his latest publication, and it was co-authored by Michael Bishop, a professor of philosophy at Florida State University. That's quite the connection. So Let's continue on. The next article. Yesterday, I had stated that I read articles and I linked to articles yesterday about how teens think that finance is complex and confusing. Well, this is teen workers in the Hamptons are booking jobs at $70 an hour as private sports instructors for kids. The same service also offers babysitting for up to $45 an hour and chess lessons at $125 per hour. The network's 16-year-old founder says his prices are competitive with local professional services. There's probably never been a better time to be a teen worker than the summer of 2022, and there's likely nowhere quite like the Hamptons for young workers to earn big. Amid an extreme labor shortage in the U.S., one networking site is connecting teen workers with families seeking babysitting services, sports instruction, and even chess lessons. So Alex Bank is that 16-year-old entrepreneur. I'm sure their parents are no slouch either. So this is an article in BusinessInsider.com, and Dominic Reuter is the author of this article. Let's see here. I'm going to scroll through this real quick and see if I can find something. Compared with his past summer job of bussing tables for $17 an hour, Bank told the Post that his new gig is a lot less stressful. It's amazing that money actually makes people less stressed if they're allowed to. And as a teen, you shouldn't have any stress except trying to find, I don't know, the next hot pocket to eat. Anyway, but Bank doesn't pocket all of his billings himself. 25% of his fee goes to Gabe Jaffe, I guess, also 16, who launched the Teen Hampton listing service earlier this summer after a year of recruiting and planning. It's what the market is willing to pay, and the Hamptons is a market that's pretty detached from the rest of reality. That's very Lions Ate My Face kind of thing. Even though professional athletic instruction from other companies in the area can easily cost double or triple the Teen Hampton rate, Jaffe says his clients like having younger instructors that their children can relate to more easily. Yeah, I guess, and if they still do it, while the highest hourly rate on the site is $125 for private chess lessons from a two-time U.S. champion instructor who earned a national master rank by age 13, the demand is greatest for routine babysitting and at upwards of $45 an hour. You got expensive kids, folks. Let's continue on. The next article. Federal court. North Carolina school can't require girls to wear skirts. Federal appeals court ruled a charter school violated female students' rights. Which is kind of interesting because it's a private school. When I first clicked on this to grab it for a discussion here on the Hometown Daily News Show, I thought that this was going to be a public school. But this is actually a private school, a charter school. A North Carolina charter school violated female students' constitutional rights by requiring them to wear skirts, a federal appeals. In the UK, it's kind of regular thing that there is a dress code, and I'm surprised that this was a violation of equal protection rights, siding with parents who had argued that their daughters were put at a disadvantage by the requirement. Public schools have long been banned from enacting such mandates, but the court's majority included the public charter schools since they receive public funds, are also state actors, and are therefore subject to the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. So I'm pretty sure that this school is going to start working to get itself out of the Title IX anti-discrimination law so that it can invoke this dress code. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure if it'll even come back into the news after this. It says the plaintiffs who were represented by the ACLU hailed the decision. Quote, I'm glad that girls at charter day school will now be able to learn, move, and play on equal terms as the boys in school. In 2022, the girls shouldn't have to decide between wearing something that makes them uncomfortable or missing classroom instruction time. Yeah, I think it's pretty stupid. But Sometimes it's the optics that a school wants to put forward. Wear blue on this day, or wear your kilt, whatever. Sometimes that's what schools do. Private schools don't have these constitutional issues because, shocker, the Constitution is supposed to impact the government's control of things, not private. That's why I get bent out of shape when people start screaming about the First Amendment. No, the First Amendment doesn't allow you to do whatever you or say whatever you damn well please. It's a control on the government to not react to what you say about the government. We have other laws that impact your statements about other human beings. So if you say something about against the government, pretty darn near anything you want, even a public representative, you can say something about a political person. You can almost say anything, right? What you can't do is say something that is slander or libel, depending on the vehicle in which you are saying this. So if you're writing it, it's one thing. If you're saying it, it's another thing. If you're reposting it, it's another thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what can't happen is you say, I think that the government sucks, and they can't come after you. Even though you may think that they do, you can almost guarantee that the government doesn't care what you're saying about the government in whole. But when you start making claims about individuals, you had better have proof to back it up. And regardless, you can still end up in a defamation case. And that can be about a public person. So again, be prepared to argue. So at any rate, if you take public money, you have to abide by public rules. Otherwise, you're back in your silo in your walled garden. Good luck. Sometimes they've got enough money where they can do that. And that's just sad. I think everybody should play by the same rules. Anyway, but that doesn't happen. One school has greater power and influence and puts out people that are better connected because of families, socioeconomic status as it is. Those political politically connected families and financially well-off families are always better off ultimately than those in higher risk cities, inner city, etc. They don't get all the tax benefits. They don't get all the whatever. There's so much more to that conversation that I just can't stay in it here right now. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. It's about business. Bill Gates says crypto and NFTs are 100% based on greater fool theory. The tech billionaire said he's not involved in crypto. I'm not long or short on any of those. Let's click the link. That'll take us over to CNBC and an article by Ryan Brown. Microsoft. Oh, I do this every single day. So Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates said he thinks cryptocurrencies and NFTs are 100% based on greater fool theory. I can explain that here in a minute. Expensive digital images of monkeys will improve the world immensely, Gates joked, referring to the Bored Ape NFTs. And tech billionaire said he's not involved in crypto and not long or short on any of it. So Bill Gates is not a fan of cryptocurrencies or non-fungible tokens. That's NFTs. Speaking at a Tech Crunch talk on climate change Tuesday, the billionaire Microsoft co-founder described the phenomenon as something that's 100% based on greater fool theory, referring to the idea that overvalued assets will go up in price when there are enough investors willing to pay for them. That, to me, is the entirety of the stock market. Money chasing money. And basically, you can keep on going up if people can believe that, or people have faith that the stock will continue to go up. As soon as an overwhelming number of people cause a decline because they're selling off, the price will start to drop and more people will FOMO, fear of missing out. They will bail on it. And if you short it at the right time, then you will get the profits from that high point to the low point because you sold, you shorted the stock. A lot more to that as well. So obviously we can all talk about this, but if I invest something at $1,000, even if I think that it's going to go up, more people might think that it's going to go up. And so they start buying it and buying it and buying it. But I know that I don't think that it's going to go up to 1500. So I sell at 1450 and the stock drops because I had a great number of shares. And catch that. All I need is enough money to get hold of enough leverage and I can provoke a decline in a stock. Shocker, right? This is what's going on day in, day out on the stock market. If you think that you and your $10,000 or even $100,000 has any influence on a stock, guess again. So NFT, I'm not even going to get into what NFTs are. I'm not going to care about the rest of this. Just know that Gates doesn't buy into cryptocurrencies or NFTs. Smart guy. The next article is in the Continuity Report. Taika Waititi's, I keep hitting the wrong button. Star Wars movie will reject pre-existing characters and origins and expand the world. It should really expand the universe. Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy wasn't joking when she told Total Film Magazine last month that Star Wars will need to create a whole new saga in order to return to the big screen and not just rely on threads from the past. That's exactly what Taika Waititi wants to do with his upcoming Star Wars. Good. That's what I want too. I want new personalities, new worlds, new everything. Get away from this old stuff and expand it. There's more there. There really is. The threads have been, you know, getting pulled year after year. And this is just so old and I'm burnt out with this. And the story has played out to the ridiculous side of things too. What is going on with the rest of the universe that Star Wars could be? Much like Star Trek is expanding, much like the MCU was focused on just a certain few and is now expanding. There is some tremendous world building here that could be done. I think it would be fun. I hope that they do it right and more like what the MCU is doing. And please get the right actors. My gosh, the garbage that's going on with DC just makes it look like it's, you know, a hot mess. Anyway, this article is over at Variety.com by Zach Scharf. And says Waititi recently told Total Film that he's not interested in making a movie with pre-existing characters and story threads. Think Rogue One, which connects directly to A New Hope through the Death Star or telling origin stories. Think Ron Howard's polarizing Han Solo prequel Solo. The Thor Love and Thunder director aims to create some new characters and expand the world of Star Wars with his movie. So I hope so too. That would be awesome. Let's see. Thor Love and Thunder is going to open on July 8th. Okay, let's continue on with the next article. I've got about 8 more. The next article is in the Word in Tech. US releases new driver assist crash data and surprise, it's mostly Tesla. Well, that's because Tesla is basically the big dog on the block. A federal government released 2 new reports highlighting for the first time crashes and fatalities involving autonomous vehicles. I wonder what the stock ended up doing with that release. Let me see something. It went up $37 today, so I think people don't care. The federal government released 2 new reports highlighting for the first time crash and fatalities involving autonomous vehicles, AV. Vehicles equipped with advanced driver assist systems, ADAS. Tesla reported the most crashes involving driver assist technology, while Alphabet's Waymo disclosed the most incidents involving its autonomous vehicles. Well, the two biggest dogs on the block are going to be barking at each other. I'm not surprised by that. What is going on? Why isn't that opening? Weird. Andrew J. Hawkins is the author of this article. NHTSA wants to shine a light on autonomous vehicles and advanced driver-assisted systems. I might have to go and look through this and check out the various kind of bulk data. Requiring car companies to report crashes involving AVs as well as level 2 driver assist systems found in hundreds of thousands of vehicles on the road today. The agency required companies to document crashes with ADAS and automated technologies were in use within 30 seconds of impact. I saw one video where an automated car just kind of smashed into a vehicle that was on its side without any stopping. It was weird. To be sure, the data is limited, lacking key details like the number of vehicles manufactured, the number of vehicles in operation, and the distances traveled by those vehicles. I don't really think it matters. What really just matters is the number. I mean, that's greater fidelity, but the reality is that what really matters is how often this happens and what is the context of it. Because really, if there's a million cars and only, you know, 10 of these incidents, while it's a low number, y'all don't want to be one of those 10, right? And it's not like you're going to cheerlead, oh, I was number 8. It's not a big deal that I'm missing my legs. So Tesla is 273, Honda is 90, Subaru is 10. Level 2 ADAS crashes by reporting entity. So one estimate puts the number of Tesla vehicles with autopilot or full service, full self-driving at 826,000. I'm rounding up. So it'll give greater fidelity to know how many are operational at any given time, let alone, you know, versus the number that's sitting in a garage somewhere. Of the 392 crash reports, only 98 included information about severity. There were 6 crashes that resulted in serious injury and 5 that resulted in fatalities during the 9-month reporting period. Yeah, I crave context. What exactly is causing the problem? Waymo, which is a subsidiary of Alphabet, reported 62 crashes. Transdev Alternative Services, which operates self-driving shuttles, disclosed 34 crashes. And Cruise, a majority-owned subsidiary of GM, reported 23 crashes. Again, how many of these were... At some point, you would think that there is a driver somewhere in this loop. Were they not paying any attention and could have solved that problem by simply slamming on the brakes? Or was it really no driver anywhere in the loop and you are a victim of a car driving out of control? There was a legal discussion point that was brought up regarding that. You know, what really happens when there is a driverless vehicle? Who is ultimately liable between the artificial intelligence and machine learning system to the company? Ultimately the company, I'm sure, but... let's revisit that as time goes on. The next article is in the Word in Tech. YouTube says more than 1.5 billion people are watching shorts each month. I think that's great, but I still think that shorts are hard to find. Launched in 2020, YouTube Shorts is the platform answer to TikTok's ascent. Since then, shorts have gradually made their way across the platform, including in recommendations, and the company is kind of driving this whole thing, I think, at a slow pace. There's very near zero discoverability in YouTube. I just find stuff by happenstance. This article is over at The Verge by Mia Sato. YouTube recently started putting ads on short form videos. I think that is just trying to recover costs. But I'm not a big fan of ads on shorts. They just take up screen space. Let's see. But it's their gig, not mine, and everything is free, so you really can't knock it too much. Last year, the company launched a $100 million shorts fund that paid creators up to $10,000 per month when they make popular videos. Payment amounts vary according to engagement and where viewers are located. Looks like I'm going to have to go over to YouTube. When monetizing longer YouTube videos, ads play before or during the video and creators get a cut of the revenue. But instead of running an ad in front of every short clip, YouTube has had to figure out other ways to help creators monetize their short-form videos. As shorts become a bigger part of viewership on YouTube, the company will need to make up for the reduced ad revenue. True. But that's part of the whole give that product enough runway and it will take off. So let's continue on. The next article is in the Marvel channel. Ugh, one of these days I'll get this right. A sweeping legislation aims to ban the sale of location data. Senator Elizabeth Warren and a group of other Democratic lawmakers have introduced a bill that would essentially outlaw the sale of location data harvested from smartphones. The bill also presents a range of other powers to the Federal Trade Commission and individual victims to push back against the multi-billion dollar location data industry. Yeah, I don't think anybody should know where I am unless I give it tacit approval at the moment of my disclosure of my location. It's actually one of the biggest privacy concerns that I have. I don't think anybody should be able to find out where I am just because they subscribe to, or I subscribe to a service. It shouldn't be sold to anybody. Really compromises my security because if somebody is powerful enough with enough money, they can obtain that data. And if I've pissed off the wrong person, they can come a knocking regardless of where I might be. Or they can do something while I'm gone. And in my domain, I have actually found situations wherein people have posted pictures without stripping the metadata. And that divulges the location of somebody where they are regularly. And thus somebody could go to the house and break in, steal things, or harm the person. And this is all without an air tag, you know, real-time tracking. So let's click this link. It takes us over to Vice.com and an article by Joseph Cox and Liz Landers. The Health and Location Data Protection Act comes after Motherboard reported that brokers were selling location data on people visiting abortion clinics. The bill would give the FTC and individual people power to curb some of the worst abuses of such data. I think this should be written along the lines of the right to be forgotten laws in the UK and the EU, wherein I should be able to demand my data be purged from somebody's system just because you provided a service to me at one point, and I'll terminate my relationship with that service too. I should not be bound by tracking on various websites, sending it over to you because you have some tracking beacon, and I can show people how this works if you are so motivated, and just how much stuff is in a website that you might go to. And I can do this in real time too. Happy to show you. The move comes after Motherboard reported multiple instances in which companies were selling location data of people who visited abortion clinics. And if it's for one thing, then it's for others. I think it's just disgusting that it divulges somebody's private information. But remember, folks, if you're using a service for free, then you are the product being bought and sold. The next article is over in the Order of the Bean channel. And coffee equipment maker fellow raises $30 million in Series B round. San Francisco-based coffee brewing equipment maker fellow has raised an additional $30 million through a Series B funding round, which is really it's a pretty young funding round. Leading the Series B round was Next World Evergreen, a growth equity fund, apparently. Now, this is an article over at dailycoffeenews.com by Howard Bryman. And let's see what else. A growth equity firm also based in San Francisco that focuses on conscious consumer brands. Previous food and beverage related investments in the Next World portfolio have included Stephen Smith Tea Maker, Alter Eco Chocolate, Mighty Leaf Tea, and others. So, ta-da! Their grinder is really expensive. So the product that led the company's first fundraising success through a 2013 Kickstarter campaign that brought nearly in $200,000 is the Duo Coffee Steeper. And they've got a grinder as well. Let me see if I can find it on here. Do, do. So that's the Fellow Ode Brew Grinder right there. And that's like all the rage. That big old dial is all the rage now for grinders. Anyway, go over to the dailycoffeenews.com site and you'll be able to read even more about this. The next article is in the Word in Tech, and it is Voice Mod uses AI to transform your voice into Morgan Freeman, astronauts, and more. Voice Mod, a popular real-time voice changer, is starting to use artificial intelligence to transform your voice into Morgan Freeman and others. A new Voice Mod AI Voices beta is launching today, offering up 8 options to transform your voice into fantasy characters, pilots, astronauts, and the actor Morgan Freeman. Voice Mod has been transforming voices for years thanks to classic sound design techniques, but the new voices combine artificial intelligence too. The Morgan voice, as Voice Mod calls it, is particularly impressive, allowing you to pretend to be the famous movie star or simply a polished voice actor. That might land them in trouble because you can't use somebody's identity when they are world famous without their permission. This is Tom Warren's article over at The Verge. I have Voice Mod, by the way. I don't have it implemented because I now use Beacon Mic and Beacon Mixer, and it is Voice Mod and things like Voice Meter, Banana, and stuff make things really complex and quirky at times. I'll just say quirky. Anyway, Voice Mod has been transforming voices for years. It's a pretty simple solution. You basically route your audio through it and it back out to wherever it is you're going to be sending the audio. It's really not that complex, but sometimes things go a little hinky for me, mainly when I was using a Go XLR, which is actually sitting right there on the floor. I'm about to post it on eBay. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know what kind of delay might be caused by this, but it says realistic synthetic voices are getting ever more impressive as the years roll by. While AI voices have been a novelty in the past, tools like Resemble.ai and ReSpeecher have demonstrated the potential for content creators, letting editors use voice clones to edit spoken word recordings. Yeah, it gets pretty powerful out there. Let's continue on. I've got two more articles. This one is Harry Potter publisher Bloomsbury reported record sales amid reading boom. People who turned to books during COVID lockdowns continue to buy them, company says. Bloomsbury has reported a record year for sales, as the Harry Potter publisher said the increase in reading during the pandemic had become permanent after lockdowns eased. And congratulations. Let's go over to the article at The Guardian. It's written by Kalina Makortoff. Sorry, I'm probably butchering your name, but so yeah, people who turned to books during lockdown continued to buy them. Yeah, I buy ebooks. I buy audiobooks. I don't buy physical books because I want to be able to take all of my books wherever I want them. So the question on all our minds was, would the pandemic surge in reading continue? We know now the answer. Reading has become a reacquired habit and continues to thrive. Nigel Newton of Bloomsbury, the chief executive, said that the annual sales were up 24% to record highs of £230 million for the end of the year of February. Pretty good. Pretty good. Interesting that they tie Harry Potter publisher to give it provenance. The next article, and the last one for today, is in the Daily News Show, Invasions of Privacy, the Diluted Exception of Rape and Incest. Exceptions are no more enlightened than total bans, excessive restrictions for abortion centers, laws prohibiting insurance coverage, or any of the myriad ways that women are being pushed back in time. I agree. This is a Common Dreams article, though, and their headlines. What is going on? Why is this taking so long to load? Let me do it again. CommonDreams.org tends to have really inflammatory titles, kind of, I don't know, inciting riot. I don't think I'm going to be able to even pull this up in time. Come on. I need to get this going. Alice Rothschild is the author. Exceptions are no more enlightened than total bans. I agree. The idea of this, it says, we are hurtling towards a world where a group of conservative, mostly white men will likely trample the rights of postborn women to control their reproduction in the name of saving the preborn. That word has only recently become an evocative and weighted term designed to create a mindset that gives embryos and fetuses a host of constitutional rights. The idea that pregnancies resulting from rape or incest could be an exception to the no choice whatsoever rule is repeatedly offered as a kinder, gentler attitude that addresses the needs of women caught in tragic circumstances. 1 in 5 women will experience sexual assault at some time in their life. Many will become pregnant. Yeah, I don't think that there should be any exceptions. I think that it should be codified in law that a woman has the right to not have to go through producing a child, because they are a human being. They are cognizant of their decisions. They are also aware that sometimes men overreach and abuse a woman because they think that they are property or not even a human being and an object to abuse. And the simple fact that it's only 1 in 5 that they're acknowledging here as experiencing sexual assault, I think is underreported. I don't think that any man should be able to control a woman in their decision to choose if they want to reproduce. And I don't care of the context. And like I said in my previous streams and my previous podcast episodes, if this was a man having to carry a child full term, regardless of the context, they could be in a financially secure, completely loving relationship, and there's never that everybody was in agreement to reproduce. And the moment that the dude didn't want to have a kid, this would be a non-issue. But because it's a woman, suddenly a bunch of dudes can decide the fate. And the women that are agreeing with this are fundamentalist in nature and not acknowledging that maybe they themselves might fall victim. They are completely compassionate, missing compassionate context in any way. They have no compassion, no empathy, no sympathy. They are antisocial. They have zero understanding of the horror that goes through a person's mindset when they have to make a choice like this. They may talk to somebody who has had it and they regret it, but the reality of that is they may regret it now because of other things. And it's not up to a conversation years later to decide the fate of everybody now. Because now is when it matters. The moment that somebody finds out that they're pregnant, they have to make a whole world of decision about their future and if they want to bring somebody into this world. And right now, look around you, folks. Anyway, enough of the soapbox. We know that somewhere along the line, the Supreme Court is going to drop this bomb of overturning Roe v. Wade. It'll provoke a whole mess of litigation, And it'll be back. And the only way it won't be back is if the Supreme Court's true colors are revealed entirely. The onion, the first layer of the onion is pulled back and everybody knows how it smells. And tears will be had because everybody that was newly injected into the Supreme Court flat out said that they have no intention of throwing Roe v. Wade to the side, yet the moment that it was possible, in the same phrase where people were accusing the left of saying, if they get control of this and that, you know, they're going to force this through, force that through. But every claim, every accusation is a confession from this extremist side. So when they say they won't do something, bet your ass they're going to do it. And that's it for today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.